Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm looking down.
A beautiful song to start the show with, don't you think, AP?
I do. Look at Damage, I do.
I'd like to welcome Deb to the show. Hi, Deb.
Hello, Linda. Hey, AP.
Hey, Deb.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing better. I have good days and bad, but today I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you sound like you're doing good. That's great.
Yeah.
We all have the good and the bad, kind of what makes up life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry I missed the show Monday night, but, and I wanted to ask you a question. I'm trying to look for next Monday night show, and all I can find is a show on the 14th, which isn't even a Monday. Is there a mistake, maybe?
You can't find my show? Is that what you said?
Yeah, on Monday the 19th.
The 19th is a Saturday.
Oh, that's right, Saturday.
And my next show is the 4th. And My shows are listed all the way till December 19th. And that one I just put on the board is for my Monday coming up.
Okay. See, Deb, I need you. My brain is all wonky sometimes. I get my dates mixed up. And
well, while we're getting your brain all talked to, you don't have to worry about coming and putting a new topic, because I just changed the date at the end of the show to your next month's date. So your topic's always there. That's the same thing I do for Saturdays. I just switch the topic if, you know, need be, and delete the poems that were on the board. So you can find your own by date as well. And like I said, as soon as the show ends, I'll switch it out.
Well, thank you for that. Because I thought I was responsible for doing that. And this month I'm trying something new by kind of trying to be on top of things by sending out invitations in time. And I sent out a whole load of invitations this month.
Yeah, well that's,
I think you'll
like
see we have some.
Your job is to invite who you want to be there and run your show. And my job's to, as Hatter would put it, do all the heavy lifting in the background.
Ah, okay.
So you can sit there and look pretty.
Right on. Well, so everybody's good, and we have a lot of stuff to go through tonight in the folder. We got a lot of SoundCloud.
I loaded five sounds for you.
Yes, I saw that. Thank you very much. Thank
you're
you for
welcome
that.
Very much.
And I'm hoping that the people I invited will actually show up. That's a big part of it. Give the invitation out, and then they have to show up. But we'll see.
That's very true.
We'll see what happens.
But sometimes it's just as easy to have someone to discuss and comment with you and get all the shows on, and then the people come and listen to it, which is nice.
Right.
So, yeah.
So I think maybe, did you bring a piece, Deb? Are you like in a crunch for time?
Nah, about an hour.
About an hour? Okay, and you brought something?
Of course.
Okay.
You got real quiet. Does that mean you want to fetch my link?
No, we can hold off if you want.
No, it's up to you. I'm just. You said you wanted to try doing it yourself, and I'm trying very hard to stop myself from going and grabbing links or whatnot. So.
Oh no! I'm going to need help doing that part.
Okay.
Because I get all discombobulated there. But
good word.
Well, you got about a dozen on the board, five of which have the sound clips, and I don't know how long Mr. AP has, but
all
those are what you got.
An hour, so, Dick. We were all good.
So you both have about an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got a little time then. I thought maybe we would start with, let me see, a SoundCloud from Gerald.
Good thinking.
And I believe it's called His World.
I believe you're right.
I have it, and I am about to touch it to the wall. As soon as I find, there is it. And AP had beat me to it anyway, so okay, let's...
Oh, okay, here we go.
His World.
Almost
there was a time
one.
When the season didn't matter.
That was
he'd
like
arrive
seconds,
before
so
the sun,
mine it showed me first,
full of what to do that always day, ideas of his own. I'd never know, but hear the noise of tools controlled by calloused hands, maintaining what we had and shaping what would be. There was a time when animals resided in the barn and sheds along the fence, a cow or two, and hens for eggs, occasionally a pig for meat. He didn't call them chores, and kept the stables neat, carried water, fed what needed feeding, mended what needed mending. There was a time when he had come home at 5:30 without a stop for beer. I'd have a meal on the stove, and when he had washed, we'd eat. He seldom talked of work or what he did, said few words when holding a fork, but always admired a meal with a sentence or two of gratitude. There was a time when he could move without restrictions, lithe and quick, as if he were an athlete, never needing warm-up or regimen. Mowing, raking, shoveling, building was his world. Outside, where mud froze hard in winter months and summer flowers thrived. There was a time. End poem.
Wow, Gerald, awesome, awesomeness. I love how Gerald's voice portrays his stories because he's such a storyteller. His voice is so fine that way. And this piece was so heartfelt, you know. I love this verse. I never know but hear the noise of tools controlled by calloused hands, maintaining what we had and shaping what would be. Talking of a man who's out in his barn or garage or what have you, creating the little things that they tinker with in their own little worlds, which to me brings back fond memories. My husband is a tinkerer. And he's always out doing something. But this is a beautiful, beautiful poem. And we have a barn/garage, but I call it a barn. My husband calls it a garage. But I would like to have animals in it. And I love the way he talks fondly about his cow or two and hens for eggs. Occasionally a pig for meat. It's lovely how he speaks of it not being chores, because most people would think that's a lot of work, but which it is, but he didn't call them chores. That's what I like about this verse. He watered them and fed them and mended what needed mending on his own time. So this is a beautiful, beautiful piece, Gerald, and I want to thank you for contributing it to my show tonight, and let's see what AP thinks about it. What do you think, AP?
Well, Gerald is I know he calls himself a neo-conformist, a neo-formalist poet. I just think he's a wonderful poet. You're right, his voice is brilliant, but his voice is only as good as the material it's got to work with. And Gerald's a fine writer because he's able to go and paint a picture with his words. And he takes you back and in a very lovely, very charming way with this poem, and it's beautifully written.
Great comment. Let me take a moment and introduce Sweet Pea to the show. Hi, Sweet Pea.
Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing really well.
And then we have from the Great North is Lady A, the Queen of Canada. Hi, Lady A.
Hey, Liquid.
Nice
how are
you? Nice to see you here. I'm
Thank
good.
You for
good to hear your voice. Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice of you to show up tonight.
Well, it was nice for you to invite me.
And
Thank
let's,
you.
Well, you're very welcome. And let's see, 603, who's calling?
This is, someone said it. Yep, this is Sky.
Hi,
Hi
Sky.
Sky.
Hello.
How are you, darling?
Good, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking. And let's see. 916, who's calling?
Heather.
Who's calling,
yeah,
please?
Hatter. Hatter,
Hatter. Hatter. Who? Oh, Hatter. Hi, Hatter.
Hi. How are you doing?
I didn't reconnoiter your voice.
Try to get something done. Hold on one second. I'll get right back to you, okay? Give me a minute.
Bye. Okay. Well, boy, everybody showed up all at once. We're having a party tonight. Thank you all for coming.
Party.
Great. We just heard Gerald Green's poem. Did anybody get to hear it?
I did.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
It was that, was that Lady A who commented?
Oh, that was Sweet.
Oh, Sweet. Would you like to comment on it?
Yeah, I actually thought it was brilliant, obviously well read and well put together. His personification of the person in the poem was brilliant, because I think we've all sat there and gone, well, there was a time I could do that. There was a time. And then just talking about the farm area, the farmland and stuff they was talking about, he painted such a beautiful picture. I mean, Gerald's just a genius, and that's all there is to it.
Right. Good comment. I'm sure he would greatly appreciate that. Let's see. Sweet. Are you there?
Yes. Yes.
What's your area code? Is it 916?
No, that's Hatter.
No, that's Hatter.
Yeah, I'm 720.
No, that you're 720. Okay, I had it right. Okay, did you get to hear Gerald's?
Yeah, I just commented on it.
Poem? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at my paper and my numbers are all jagged up. Hatters will be back. Sky.
Yeah.
Did
so
Sky
I didn't hear on the call, so it was in my contest, so I did hear it. I did give it the gold because I thought it was brilliant. I love it. I love how he brought, and I like I said in his comment, I live in a big farming area. I have like just woods and rivers and small farms, working farms around where I live, up here in New Hampshire, you know, to the northwest. And I thought he brought it in beautiful in the sense of nostalgia. I mean, we do still have farms here, but when I look at old pictures of how the town used to be, and we just had our 250th town anniversary thing, and so the Historical
Wow.
Society obviously put up, like, a lot of old photos and things like that. We had a big event. And when you see those old dirt roads and those old streets and the time gone by, you know, there's something definitely different that has changed, and that's what I feel in this piece. I feel like that homage and appreciation, that pride of working the land, and you know, and I love that about his piece because it was very reminiscent of that. Really well done.
Right on. Good comment. Good comment. Deb.
Yeah, I thought that there was a lot of nostalgia wrapped up in this, and not just for, like, from the perspective of the writer, but my own, like with the little things where he didn't call them chores, or the one or two line conversations during a meal, and just the little endearing things that like took me to like put some of my relatives in my mind, stuff like that. I think that it's easy to see why he won the gold here, because he bested us in the stanzas. So as always, he did a fantastic job.
Great comment. Great comment. And Lady A, did you said you didn't hear it, or you did?
No, I did not. No, sorry.
Oh, okay. Let me cross you off then. And so we're waiting for Hatter. But I guess
I'm
he'll
here.
Be right back. Oh, hi, Hatter. Did you hear Gerald's piece?
Just part of it. Part of it.
Did you want to comment on?
Well,
okay.
He at the beginning he did an inner rhyme line at the last line of the stanza, and it fit. I mean, it really closed it up like a thin rhyme line. But I can't find it now. But anyway, it gave me the idea of trying that. I think I'm going to try doing three of it, doing an inner rhyme line at the last line, see how it works.
Right, right. Very good. All right. Well, let's see. Did everybody bring something to read tonight?
Yes.
Always.
Okay, well, I'm going to throw out, and let's go with Lady A, my friend from Canada.
Okay. I had a poem that I wrote a couple of years ago with regard to Remembrance Day, or I could read that, but I also have... What?
Did you put it up on the wall?
I don't have access to the board. I can send it to you, but I thought that I would, where Sky was there, I just was awarded a gold medal for a poem that I wrote for one of her contests, so I kind of would like to read that too. So I think I'll read that instead of the other. Unless everybody's reading memorial pieces, I'll read mine. So
I'm not reading memorial piece.
Okay.
I'm not. Okay. I'll send you the link.
It's open poetry. If you want to read a Veterans Day piece, that's fine. And if not, that's fine too.
Yeah. No, I think I'll read where Sky's there. I think I'll read the one that I wrote for her contest and that she gave me the gold medal for. Thank you, Sky, very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I'm sending you the link, Linda, and you can post it in the room if you like.
Okay. And where would I find the link?
In my messages to you.
Oh, Lord. I don't even know where those would be. It's been so long. Oh, there it is.
That's okay. I can help you guys out here.
Do you have it?
I got to refresh.
It's okay. Is it the troll one, Lady?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay. I got you, Linda. We're okay. It's my contest, so I know.
Oh, there it is.
Okay.
Yeah. There we go. Oh, I like the title.
Yeah. Not all trolls are scary. This is a contest that Sky put on for her, it was day 21 of her Oktoberfest poems, and the picture prompt was the pictures by Sandra Lee, and had the little troll in it, so you can, you know, make up your own story. So this is how this goes. Not all trolls are scary. Stories from long ago in Erin, so they say, of fairies, elves, and banshees, among the woods and streams. Feasts and dancing, leather shoemaking, is what kept them bragging. Under the bridge and all alone, a troll cries tears forlorn. He watches as the fairies dance and grieves he's forever scorned. Fellow trolls say he's far too nice. He knows their hearts are made of ice. From his hiding place, he peeks each night to see happiness and joyful songs fairies and friends display. Contagious was their joie de vivre. Little trolls clapped and tapped his toes. One fairy with ears attuned to the smallest sounds on earth heard the gentle tapping and turned toward the Bray. He found him through the porthole where fairies dwell in fairy chalets. Compassion struck the fairy's heart. He was not afraid. He beckoned for the troll to come and join him in fairy games. Little troll ran at breakneck speed, a one troll stampede. And fairy said, "You aren't so scary," troll said. "Now I'll know what it's like to be a happy fairy." And peace.
Oh, that was very sweet. How magical. I love the picture with that little troll sticking up, and you wrote to the prompt very well.
Thank you.
His hiding place, he peeks each night to see happiness and joyful songs fairies and friends display. Contagious was their joie de vivre. Little troll clapped and tapped his toes. I love that verse. He tapped his toes. How cute. This was very well written. And
thank you.
It had such an enchanting air about it. Those little trolls are just so cute. I can't get over it. But let's get you some more comments. Sweet Pea, did you hear a little
I did, and I loved it. I want to live in a fairy chalet myself. I love Lady A's poetry, and her cadence. She always has such a beautiful cadence. And I like, as a troll cries, tears forlorn. He watches as the fairies dance and grieves, he's forever scorned. Few trolls say he's far too nice. He knows their heart are made of ice. You know, I like that, you know, she's got this fairy or this troll that just thinks everyone's, you know, against them, and he just knows that that's not true. They're the ones that have problems and all of this. And yet, at the end of the fairy tale, I guess I would call it, or the fairy poem, you know, you're not so scary. And you know, the troll's like, I know what it's like to be a happy fairy. And I think that, you know, when you start off almost in a dark, dark place and you're able to spin it back to a happy place, that's always magical. I have a hard time myself doing that. I'm always ending with somebody dying or getting their head cut off. But I think this is beautiful the way it starts and the way it ends.
Well, he wasn't your traditional troll, and he didn't want to be a traditional troll, so he was enticed and enchanted by the fairies in the woods, so it turned out well. Thank you for that.
Very cool.
You're welcome.
Very nice comment. Sky.
Yeah, I thought this was great. Obviously, I gave it the gold. For my picture contest, I usually do my pictures, but I often will also feature some of my mom's, and my mom just likes to run around all these places and put trolls. She has a thing for trolls, so this was a gift of her creation. Yeah, there's quite a few of them. And I just thought this was so fun. And this is one of the things, so I often read her a lot of the contests that I do. I call her up and I'll read them to her out loud. So these troll ones she particularly loves, and she'll do things just to give them to me and so that people can make stories of them. And that's what she does with these troll ones. She's like, oh, I got a good one for you to do. And she'll ask me to do, because she loves poetry, so I could read them to her. And she loved this one. I loved this one. I thought the angle in which it was taken, where, you know, the old troll under the bridge and you know, that kind of stereotypical troll, you know, storytelling, you know, the old trolls under the bridge are going to get you. But there's this cute little troll, and he's just a little bit different, and he's just enchanted with the fairies, and he wants a different life, and yet he can't escape, I guess, his plight in life, where people judge him for what he is rather than. So I liked how he went on this little journey and found a place where he could be accepted and be who he wants to be. And I I love the troll in Central Park. I don't know if anybody remembers that animated film. So I was right with this one. Really well done. Great storytelling.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Lady. I'm just been asked to temporarily step in, and so we're going to keep on rolling while we have Linda's got something happen, so I'm going to step in for a tick. So what we might do while we've got all of that going on is we might play one of the sound clouds that have come in, and the sound cloud that we had come in, oh no, I can't do a sound cloud because I don't have access to the studio, so I can't do that, but I can do a poem by Kay, so that's what I'll do, and she does need a reader, so I'm going to put Kay's poem in the room.
Okay, Pam, back.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Linda. Welcome back.
Hello.
I was about to put Kay's poem in the studio.
That's a good idea.
Is that okay?
And maybe, yeah, that's fine. And she needs a reader, so maybe Deb would like to read that.
Even better.
Oh, sure. Okay, I see it. It's called Unknown Hero by Kay. And here we go. Unknown hero, faceless in the crowd, sacrifices unknown to all. But to the faceless hero, they carry it silently, unrecognized for bravery. Another nameless face. The unknown hero, selfless in duty, strong, for fighting the secret battles unknown. Strength and honor appreciated by few, but should be recognized by all. For the selflessness given, we thank you. For at the end of the day, some gave all gave some. End poem.
Wow. That was just ultimately awesome by Kay. It's not one of her usual abstract pieces. It was very concrete and straightforward and very loving to our people of duty. And I want to thank her for sharing that on my show. She's such a good writer. And I would like to see her write like this more often because I get more out of it. I know she's not writing for me, but sometimes some of her abstract stuff goes over my head and I feel inadequate to comment on her stuff. But this is very lovely and easygoing. And it just really sheds honor on our people of service, which I'm really appreciate. So let's get Kay some more comments. AP, what did you think?
Well, it's a lovely write. First and foremost, Liquid Damage. I think it's full of it goes and it talks to people who a serving and a serving selflessly, and it actually makes me think of all of the things that I've been watching on the internet the last 24 hours of all of the Ukrainian troops going into their major city of Kherson and being just the amount of celebrations that are occurring is just wonderful. So it makes me think of that when I read it.
Unmuted.
Okay.
You there, Liquid Damage?
I'm back. Yes, I am.
Cool.
Deb, Deborah Lee, you read it. What did you think, sweetheart?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
That's okay.
I thought it was a great tribute piece. I love the fact that she named it, or she titled it Unknown Hero, because for the most part, yeah, we have the ones that we are related to, or the ones in our daily lives, our friends and acquaintances, but there's countless faces and unknown heroes that, for one, make it possible for us to sit here and share poems and share time together and basically do any of the things that we have the freedom to do. So it was a beautiful thank you to them, and to any in earshot, thank you from me as well. Honored to be a reader. Great poem.
Great. You did a great job, by the way.
Thanks, Doc.
Lady A, what did you think, sweetheart?
Well, I can't see the poem, but from what I heard, it was a great tribute to those who served and those who died, and I think that it was appropriate, certainly, to read it. I probably should have read mine, too, but in memory. But it was a great, heartfelt piece.
Right on. Sky.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent. And, I've read this one before, but I always love reading things again that bring fresh perspective and remembrance. I thought it was great for tonight. When you speak of unknown heroes, selfless and duty and strong, because I think, day to day, it's not really, it is selflessness, and unfortunately, it isn't ever present on everybody's mind, perhaps maybe more as much as it should be. So it is wonderful we give homage and we remember those and we celebrate on days like today. And I love the ending the most, where she says, for at the end of the day, some gave all gave some, meaning, every bit counts. And, you hear about all those, even when soldiers come back, they come back different. So I think that it's such a wonderful tribute and homage to those that serve. Really well done.
Right on. Good comment. And Hatter.
Yes. I didn't know I was off mute. I didn't say anything. This is a good tribute. I mean, like a comment I left, the bravery and the heroic acts that nobody saw, nobody witnessed, and when no one survived, I think that's what she's talking about, too. I always thought the ceremony for the Medal of Honor when the soldier didn't survive was the saddest thing, and it was huge.
Cool. Right on. And last but not least, Sweet, what did you think?
I think it's a beautiful poem. I really appreciate her writing something for the unsung heroes. I come from a very strong military background, and, it means a lot. A simple thank you for anything you've ever done, and this was brilliant, and I thank her for putting it out there for all of us.
Right on. And so next, I hear we're going to do Sweet Pea's poem.
Yes.
Yep. You have the board, young lady.
All right. I was writing a new one for you tonight, and it got carried away, and it ended up being like 400 words, so I have to go back and not do that one. So,
that's okay. I have nothing to say about 400-word poems, do I, Deb?
So I put this up, and this is called Keeper of the Dandelion Secrets. The heat of a southern sun had no mercy. As beads of sweat dripped from the teeny ringlets that curled at the base of her swan-like neck, copper tones framed her pale, freckled face. eyes glared ahead in shadows of coming ocean storms as the battle between yellow ribbons and the winds raged. An unaltered beauty in a land of Jezebels, she dons a smile that hides all fails of the dragon that impaled her forever after. Her legs walk in the scent of magnolias, covering the stench of whiskey lies, wrapped in the shadows of forget-me-not, forgive-me cries. Weeds of distrust still soiled, the bonds of trust lay spoiled. A woman's forgiveness is uncoiled, but for the child, a wish on a dandelion flower kept her secrets of being disloyal. End poem.
Wow. That was like arm hair raising, enchanting. What a beautiful poem. Sweet, I
Thank
just
you.
Love your stuff. It's so deep and it's amazing. You write with such ease, it seems, that the words just easily flow and there's no stalls or parts that don't seem like they should fit there or anything like that. Your pieces are just perfect puzzles, and I like that. And this part about the wish on the dandelion is just an amazing line.
Thanks.
We've all been there. And to watch a child blow a dandelion flower is the most precious thing in the world, I think. It's just beautiful. And the imagery in this is bright. And I just love this piece. Let me get you some more comments. Let's see. Deb, what did you think?
Well, you know, actually, this one's on two of my lists. I love this poem, and it was like, gosh, you can really pick any part. An unaltered beauty in a land of Jezebels, she dons a smile that hides all fails of the dragon that impaled her forever after. The dragon that impaled her forever after. What a brilliant, brilliant line. And wheels of distrust still soiled. The bonds of trust lay spoiled. I'm appreciating the rhyme in there, little bits of it here and there. Actually, there's a lot of rhyme for my suite. But
yeah.
Like I said in the beginning, it's on two of my lists. I really, really love the poem.
Thank you.
Right on. Beautiful. Let's see. Lady A, would you like to comment?
Yes, I would. I wrote you a note, sweet, in your about your piece, and I'll read I've written here. Your heart and memories gape wide in this sorrowful poem. You are brave to write of the whiskey lies. The child within speaks what could not be spoken so long ago. Beautifully done.
Thank you, darling.
Right on.
You're welcome.
Beautiful. Skye, what did you think?
I thought it was a beautiful piece. You know, it has dragons, wishes, dandelions, magic, nature, all the things I love, but then again, an undertone of perhaps, a deeper story, which I love even more. If you kind of peel back those layers, I mean, you speak of weeds and distrust and still soiled, and the bonds of trust lay spoiled. I'm sorry about that. I mixed that up a little bit. But when you think about all the things in youth and childhood and the kind of green spirits that we have and the kind of peeling away of that, I thought was beautifully effective. Really well done.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Great comment. Heather.
Yeah, this is, I got to ask you a question, Sweet. Now, you start off, the rhyming structure is not rigid through it. Could you go, you go with BC, a three line, then you go AD, or AC, then you go back to AB with a C non-rhyme. And it worked.
I'm so glad.
Was that intentional? Or did it just sound good and you went with it?
I wrote it. I that's all I did is the words come and I write them, and sometimes I hit and sometimes I miss with my rhyme. But this one just kind of poured from head to pen. So, I really focus a little more on cadence, you know, between everybody that's listening to my poetry. So I think I worry more about that. And so if it worked out, that's great. And I'm glad you noticed.
That's it. If you read it and it sounds fine, that's it. You know, and I'm amazed at how well it did sound, the way you read it. It was perfect. No trips over any line that didn't rhyme. You introduced the next one correctly. Not correctly, but poetically. You could take the first line and the last line of each stanza. I'll start with the second one. Copper tones framed your pale freckled face as the battle between yellow ribbons and the wind raged. An unhalted beauty in the land of Jezebels, on the dragon that paled her forever after. You go on down to the first and last line of each one. The last one's the best. Weeds of distrust still soiled, the bonds of trust lay soiled. A wish on dandelion flower kept her secrets of being disloyal. Great line.
Thank you.
Right on.
Yeah.
And AP, what did you think?
Well, 2 months ago, something clearly was going on, Sweet, because there's sort of thoughts and sort of stuff springing out of the pages at you every single stanza here. And there's no rest. The ideas just keep on jumping out at you. And I was super impressed.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate that, AP.
Cool. And I'd like to thank you for bringing this beautiful piece here on my show tonight, sweetheart. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Oh, sure. Okay, what did I do?
Linda, do you mind if I take a second and talk about my show?
Oh, of course. Be my guest.
Okay, so Tuesday night show, Sweet Discussion, is going to be about the Roaring Twenties. It had a lot of great jazz players, Billie Holiday, Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, or you can talk about the fashion of the 20s, the flappers, or whatever. It's just kind of a broad, the Roaring Twenties on Sweet Discussions on Tuesday night. Kind of like this because I love jazz and I love the flapper era. And then I'll just be sharing some fun facts throughout the show, such as in the 1920s, the United States Post Office made it a rule that you could not send children through partial post. That did not happen until the 1920s, but I thought that was hilarious. So come on by. We've got some jazz that's going to be played and just some poetry. I hope everybody stops by.
Can you repeat what day that is?
It's Tuesday night. I think it's the 15th.
Yes, it is.
Tuesday, okay. 15th. Okay.
Yeah.
And the 16th, I think, is the music slot. Is it, Deb?
Mm-hmm.
If you have no preferences, I was going to choose who we do, unless you want to. We did discuss somebody. Do you want to do somebody special?
It's Hatter's Jukebox, dear heart.
Then we're going to do the Doors. Going to do the Doors. I'll get the song ready.
Right on.
All right, guys. Unfortunately, I'm going to say goodnight. Love you all.
Love you, sweet.
Do what I do. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, sweetheart. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Okay. Next, I'm going to hog the board for a minute or two.
Hog away.
I have a piece called So With These Words by Liquid Damage. I take a knee for all the ones that gave their time to war. They gave their hearts in bad times, and with these words they swore. I do solemnly swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I will bear truth, faith, and allegiance to the same, and will obey orders from the President of the United States of America and the orders of officers over me according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. So with these words, they swore an oath to defend our lives, to give us hope and fight for us through all the awful strife. Each one left their world behind of family, work, and love to fight for all our comforts in the name of God above. I myself am not a vet, but I have known a few, my grandpa and my father, my husband and nephew. I also have two brothers who came back from Vietnam. They seemed okay at a glance, but there was something wrong. Both used in some experiments of Agent Orange and stuff, it made them both very sick until they'd had enough. I just want to tell them and all who spent their time, I love you so, and with respect, I'm writing you this rhyme. So to all the men and women that fought hard for me and mine, I salute you from my heart and soul and pray you're doing fine. So let us raise our glasses up and toast these fellows brave. I'll be forever in your debt till my last breath in my grave, in peace.
Well, Linda.
Wow. That's very good.
Yeah, right? And there's a lot of I take a knee, which in this case sort of pulls it from your heart. Like, you know, I take a knee for those that gave their time to war. I myself am not a vet, but I have known a few, my grandpa and my father, my husband and nephew. I think that the way you rhymed that, for one, is really, really cool. I just want to tell them all who spent their time, I love you so, with respect, I'm writing this rhyme. So to all men and women that fought hard for me and mine, I salute you from my heart and soul and pray you're doing fine, as do I. Fine tribute, Linda. Great share.
Thank you, Deb.
Hatter, what do you think?
Good, very good. Is that the actual soldier pledge?
Yes, it is.
It is. Okay. Yeah, very. I say this every time. Your cadence is so spot on. It's ridiculous. Everything should, and you read it well. Everything should be in a book. It's so easily read and it's smooth that it's easy to get the subject of what you're trying to say. We're not, you know, tripping on words or whatever. But to fight for all our comforts in the name of God above. That's what's missing. Good problem.
Yeah.
Great comment, Hatter. And Sky.
Thank you, Hatter.
Sky.
unmute. I thought this was wonderful. What I love most about it is that you brought your own personal perspective. You brought your own experience. And when the reader, someone's reading this, I think bringing in personal experiences like my grandfather, my father, my husband, and nephew. How these, you know, people in service, it makes people remember these are people's grandfathers. They are their sisters. They are their brothers. They are their mothers. They are their fathers and nephews and nieces. And they belong to somebody when they give up time at home, and they risk themselves and to go and fight for our freedom. You know, they can be strangers to you, but they're somebody's family. So I love that you bring in that personal perspective. I also love that, you know, reading this, you can really see the appreciation that you have and that we all should think about. And it has just a personal air to it where you even say, I love you. So with respect, I'm writing you this rhyme saying, I'm just taking a little bit of my time, a little piece of my thoughts and my words. And, you know, we all put our souls in our writing. And I'm putting this little piece of me and telling you that I'm thankful. And I think that is such a beautiful thing. Really well done.
Thank you, Sky.
Fabulous comment. And Lady A.
This piece made me cry. I think it was wonderfully written and certainly personal. The Vietnam War veterans were shabbily treated, to say the least, and you give them honor by speaking about them and their sacrifice, and a lifelong sacrifice even after they get out of the war. So I thought you did a great job in honoring them. It was quite moving.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Great comment. And AP.
Yeah, look, it just suits your cadence and the way that you speak a poem. And I could hear you reading this poem before you even read it. You've got your own sort of, I call it 2-4, but it's not. You've got your own rhythm that you read poems to, and you sort of sway into that rhythm, and if you do it in a way with that involves a piece of you and something that you really care about, it really works amazingly well, and this did.
Thank you, AP. Thank you very much. Okay.
And I think that was everyone, and I saved AP for last so he could read, I think. Oh, Heather, I'm sorry. Did I skip you? That's because we were talking on the side.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Okay. I think that was everyone, Deb. I got everybody.
Yeah, so maybe we can let AP read and then I'll read, if that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about me?
Thank you.
No, she said
I'm
AP.
Sorry, say that again? They're both on the board, yeah.
Okie dokie. I will get into it, Deb. This is Expelled to Onyx. It's only very short. And it goes a bit like this. Tumbling the spray with layers upon as manila files sheathed, conglomerate in compression until energy wanes released. Pulling backward soul's tension eases seas in return, feathering the surf clamours to sands they again yearn. Dredged these sea pieces, living once shells in brisk strands, expelled to the onyx depth, their path crooked to lands. Through the darkest crush, fine pieces filtered by moon's pearl, returning within a rhythm, a rumbling swirl. In poem.
Wow. AP, what a sweet piece I think you've written here. I love stuff about the ocean and the beach and the sea and tumbling the spray with layers upon as manila flies shift, conglomerate in compressions until energy wanes released. That's very cool. I think the imagery of this piece, you don't need a picture. It speaks of the ocean and very clearly. But I think you did an awesome job here, and I want to thank you very much for bringing it to my show tonight and sharing it with us. It's very cool. And let's get you some more comments. Let's see. Let's go to Lady A. What did you think?
Well, I've always enjoyed AP's poetry, and he has a certain class of his own to write with, and I can't see it, so I can't really address it properly, but being the ocean, of course, is something that's near and dear to my heart, and you described it in AP form, and I appreciate that. Well done.
Thank you. Thanks, Lydia.
Sky.
I thought it was an excellent piece, and I just love the metaphors and the themes of water and land and how they kind of race against each other. I particularly loved her idea, the tension eases and seeds in return, that giving and taking, in the way that you kind of describe it with feathering the surf clamors. I just really like that because the sea can be an unforgiving place. And when you speak of the thundering clamors, but when you pair it with the feathering, it just makes me also think of that beautiful dance and that lightheartedness it can also have with those bits of froth in the sprays. And so I liked how you weren't afraid to mix those two types of feelings and emotions and kind of portray it that way, especially in that stanza. Really well done.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you.
Very cool. Heather.
Yes. AP, are you comparing or referring to something with the ebb and flow of the ocean, a lifespan, or?
No, I wasn't particularly Heather. I just sort of thought I like this. The circularity of the ocean and things going backwards and forwards, and so it was just that sort of circularity I was trying to get a hold of.
Yeah, it you did, because I saw that in it, and you could almost plug that into a lot of different very good.
Yeah, but no, not specifically, but thank you.
Yeah.
Right on. Okay, and Deb.
Well, I agree with you. You quoted a couple of the lines that I was going to, but I think that the imagery is fantastic, and I really like the sketch, the way there's like different dimensions in each piece, but yet it makes one full piece of art, and there's even like a reflection in the water there, so that's pretty awesome. And like I said, she quoted the ones, but I like at the end there, through the darkest crushed fine pieces filtered by moon's pearl. Moon's pearl is a beautiful image, returning within the rhythm once more, a rumbling swirl. So like there's the sounds of the oceans there, and it's a really pretty piece. And again, it goes very nice with the art.
Thank you, Deb.
Right on.
I've just been drawing for a little while, Linda, but I'm slowly getting better. So
forward. I agree, and I like the way you played with this one, with the different, like I said, the different, it gives it depth and dimensions, just the tilt of the sky with the moon, and I mean, it just came out really great.
Cool.
Thanks, Deb.
You guys are slaying me tonight. Let's see, Hatter, do you want to go next?
Yeah, sure.
Let's find your piece.
Okay. My ravens speak of things to come.
It's on the chat wall with mine.
Yeah, you got it. Goes like this. My ravens speak of the things to come.
Are you able to see it, Hatter?
Yeah, hold on 1 minute. You have to give me a couple of minutes. Sorry, there's noise around here.
Oh, we were going to do Deb. I'm sorry, Deb.
It's okay, I'll go after Hatter.
Well, anyway, while we're waiting, did you hear about the flasher who was thinking about retiring? He decided he'd stick it out one more year.
Oh.
Here's one for Veterans Day. Did you hear about the soldier who survived both mustard gas and pepper spray? He was a seasoned veteran.
Oh.
Wah, wah, wah. Let's see. What's the difference between a hippo and a Zippo?
Don't know.
That's 700 kilos.
One's really heavy. And the other is a little lighter.
Oh, jeez.
Let's see. What do you call a dog that's good at football?
Mm.
A golden receiver. Wah, wah,
okay.
Wah.
I'm good.
Is Hatter back?
Yeah, I'm back. My roommate was laughing at the flasher.
Ah.
That's fine, okay.
Well, we originally were going to do Deb. You want to let Deb go? Because I know her. She's crunched for time.
It's your show. Let her go.
Okay.
She's
yeah, Deb. There we go.
She won't fly south without her mate.
Okay, I get it. And this picture kills me, so I had to write.
That is
what it's
so
called,
cute.
She won't fly south without her mate. Here we go. As blizzard winds pelt her with beads of icy sleet, tints of gray cover cornflower shades on the sky, and ice coats beak and feathers and taloned feet. So she huddles neath two wings too frozen to fly. Tints of grays cover cornflower shades on the sky. Now the thermometer mercury falls down to zero. So she huddles neath two wings too frozen to fly, just shivering from the gusted breezes that blow. Now the thermometer mercury falls down to zero, the visibility grounds her on the wood deck rail, just shivering from the gusted breezes that blow, without her mate lost in the blistering cold gale. The visibility grounds her on the wood deck rail, and ice coats beak and feathers and taloned feet, with her mate lost in the blistering cold gale, as blizzard winds pelt her with beads of icy sleet. And so.
Wow. This is amazing. It's so just awesomely strong, the words, and so sad. This is such a sad piece, Deb. the picture, oh my God, you have nailed that picture to a T. The imagery on this is so cool and bold. I mean, it's like you could see the picture without looking at the picture. Tints of gray cover cornflower shades on the sky. Now the thermometer in Mercury falls down to zero. She huddles neath two wings too frozen to fly, just shivering from the gusted breezes that blow. That just gives me the shivers reading that, especially reading it back. This piece was amazing, and I want to thank you so much for making it a part of my show, Deb. I really appreciate it. Let me get you some more comments.
Thanks, Dom. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's go with Hatter.
Yeah, first, what kind of bird is that? What did you say it is? It's too big for like a wren. It's got to be...
Yeah, no, I thought it was a sparrow, but I'm not totally positive because she's frozen there. I just don't know.
Yeah.
I was just so struck. I mean, it looks like she's bowing her head to pray. She's so
yeah.
cold. Like
yeah, it looks like a little wren.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, look at the rail. That tells you basically a reflectance of size. That's a 1x2. That's two, like...
She's nice size, yeah. And I think actually the wrens and the swallows are smaller than she or he is.
Yeah. I think it's like a...
So I don't know. I really don't.
Yeah, but the poem was so well done. I felt it all. I looked at the... You're right, that it is a moving picture. How could you not? That the bird is. Some species suffer through the winters and find out what is native to your part of the world during the winter and find out what you can do for them, whether it's seed or house or you can nail an old boot to a tree. They love nesting in those. This is great. One on the list, Deb. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Hatter.
Beautiful poem. I'm Sky.
This is an excellent piece, and it made me sad, Deb, I'm not going to lie. But as I said in my comment, you know, when you can move a reader to have a complete change of emotion to what their state is already, I think that is an accomplishment as a writer. And I really loved, there was a lot of pieces that I did love. I loved the, you know, with these types of forms, you really have to be particular in the lines that you choose to repeat. And some might say, we'll just throw something in there and then repeat whatever. And it's just not that way. You really have to, for it to make sense, you have to be particular. And for the purpose of being effective in repeating. And I think you do that really well here. And it kind of also kind of makes that echo effect, to a darkened room or, you know, an abandoned cavern of that loneliness. So I thought that the form, too, was picked well. Really well done.
Thank you, Sky.
Thank
you.
Lady A.
I thought it was colorful and the imagery was powerful. I agree with what Sky said too, and I also think there was an element of sadness in it. It was well written.
Thank you very much.
AP?
Yes, I'm going to have to comment and then disappear, Linda, but I really liked the choice of form because there's only eight lines, but each of them are repeated twice in different places. The pantoums actually comes from a Malaysian form of poetry, which is a fascinating place for a poetry form to come from. And Deb writes quite a number of pantoums, and where she writes them really well is where she connects really strongly with what she's saying. She really does hear that the first repeating line is just an absolute beauty, and the first verse is wonderful, and that just propels the rest of the poem. But a great image to write to, and the form was a really good choice.
Thanks, AP. Appreciate that.
So thanks, Linda.
Yeah,
I'm going to see you stage.
Go ahead, AP.
I was just going to say I'm going to disappear, but thank you for having me on, and thank you for the show, and have a great rest of the show.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you for helping out.
Okay.
You're a doll.
Thank you. Okay. Talk soon. Okay. Thanks, Linda. Bye.
JP.
Bye-bye. And I like what Sky said about that emotion thing, because I've always said that as well. If you can bring a reader to have an emotion, you have done your job, and you did that here, Deb. Absolutely. So
thanks. Appreciate it,
everybody.
Everyone.
And next, I think we have Hatter. Let's see.
Okay.
You got up on the screen.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Okay, my ravens speak of things to come. Everybody got it? Okay. Goes like this. The winds of silent ghostly dreams, remembering those that made you scream. No eyes for me to know what's true. When they come for me, they'll come for you. Wizard's book for me to tell, my eyes shall fly from a warlock's spell. Shadows fill the darkened skies. Blackbirds now shall be my eyes. Your dreams shall paint the rooks and jays, so I will know what comes my way. I bring the corvids back in time, the spirit guides for yours and mine. My raven speaks of things to come, the light, the dark, they light the darkness that paints the sun. A murder shall end each day in clouds, my sight restored among the crowds. Make peace with God that brought you here. May your soul at rest now shakes with fear. Mercy shall not seize the day. I bow my head and kneel and pray.
Wow. Hatter. I love this. It's so scary and creepy. But I love that you used the raven as your speaker, as your protagonist, I might say. But really well done. The imagery was dark and foreboding and gave me shivers. And I love your mercy shall not cease this day. I bow my head and kneel to pray. That is such strong words that to end a poem that way is amazing. Another thing about poetry is lines like that come few and far between. I know when I write a poem, I'll maybe have one or two couplets that to me are exceptionally outstanding. And you've done this here, especially with this couplet. It's amazing. And there's just so much in this poem that is awesome that I can't even begin to tell you. But you're like my counterpart. When it comes to rhyming, you do it so well and effortlessly and it shows. It shows when somebody's struggling to rhyme, and it shows when it just flows. And you do that flow thing, and I like that about your poetry. So let me get you some more comments. I want to thank you for I want to thank you for bringing this piece here tonight and sharing it with us. I really appreciate it.
thank you very much.
But anyway, yeah, thank you, Hatter.
You're welcome.
AP left. Deb.
Yeah, you know, I remember this one, and what strikes me about it is, I mean, if you take a look at it, what's it, a dozen couplets-ish? But yet it's an entire story, and it's got like a haunting feel to it, and the visuals, shadows fill the darkened sky, blackbirds now shall be my eyes. What was it? My raven speaks of things to come, they light the darkness that paints the sun. I mean, wow, a murder shall end each day in clouds, my sight restored among the crowds. I mean, like I said, an entire story in just a handful of couplets. I've had this one on a list for a while. I'm actually wondering why this isn't on your other list, Hatter.
I don't know. It's a really great... I think there were a couple pages I missed.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think this one
should be on there.
I ended up tweaking this a little bit.
Yeah.
Changed it.
No, I think it came out fantastic.
Can I put it on the list? Is it too late?
It is not too late.
Thank you.
I was waiting for you to finish those couple pages and tell me you were done. That's all.
Okay. I'll do that tonight.
Great.
Hi, Lady A.
Hey, Hatter, how are you?
Yes, Lady A.
I'm okay.
How's your back?
Done with the surgeries. I'm getting my hips replaced. I got my right hip replaced, and I go for my left on the 29th.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Bionic
man.
You must
be a nurse now.
That's
for
intense.
Sure.
I'll set a metal detector off, boy.
Well, is it feel better? Are you feeling better, though?
Yes. The right one was immediate. I'm surprised. I'm amazed at how much it's relief for them. And I'm waiting for my left to be the same way.
Well, good for you. You'll be a new man.
Tell you
yeah,
what, before
I'm
the surgeries, I don't know what
you did.
What did you say, Hatter?
I said, before the surgeries that I had, before they were able to do that, I feel sorry for the people that lived through that.
Yeah.
It's so much pain.
Well, that's excellent. You'll be the bionic man.
Pretty much. $6 million, anyway.
They've been looking after you quickly, too, so that's good.
Yeah. Good to hear you.
Right on. And if I can get my... Next, I think we'll do Sky, but I have to go in and find it. So if you give me a second, I know that I can do this. There we go. See if I did this right. I did something wrong. Oh. No, I didn't. There we go. Well, is that the right one, Sky?
Yep, it's the right one.
Right on.
So
I did it.
I'm sorry?
Nothing, go ahead.
I picked this one because I know that you like storytelling, and I try to find one Deb hasn't read. That was my goal. That was my goal for tonight. So this is, it's a Star Wars poem, and I do apologize if you don't know Star Wars, you might get a little lost. But it goes, Tymon Hai Shalal, the Grievous One. And it's in the voice of Count Dooku, which I'm a little too octave high, but just use your imagination. I see in the Force a Sidious plot, the dreamer and the dreamt one, to yield his will to the Vogon, sun to the gold-rimmed eye and red-skinned reptilian with bat-like, gaunt, shadowing grimace, jaw and chin frilled with tusks, long-stemmed arm sprouting four-fingered claws, the toe-walkers of wild space. So at present, this young Kaylee warlord is but a Tatooine grain amongst star system doom. He is hailed less mortal, more kin to gods, wearing the grave of his father, carved from skull and bone of Mumuha, a trail of blood paint to quench its thirst. The Kalish are a proud kin, steely and wrath as devout in faith, living both in spirit and body, awarding fealty to the shaman and tucking honor in their teeth. But the one called Dreamer, dreamt by Rondaru Lin Kumar, will soon find those bitter salts of creepy ale gulped by lover's tongue. And as the body of his second self is torn limb from limb, lost to the Genwa Sea, stolen and sowed by fate, he will bear a new moniker, the Tortured, the Fallen God, the Grievous One. It is on the hide of this rage retribution will reign, when the Huck Wars will turn and know his grievance. But oh, how cruel is fate, for when the Kalish gain freedom and chase the Yamri back to the scourges of their home, the insectoid sentient species will cry wolf to the public. Daft creatures they are, playing parliaments and coins, silent to oppression, now boisterous in its effect. They will aid such terrorists and make enemy of my pawn. Here is when I will blend to shadow, while Kalish Squalor turn to the trade confederacy, the puppets of doom, the dreamer, and the dreamt one. Grievous in his attempt to save his planet, he will yield to the Bogan. And when he refuses to yield enough, a slight of the Sith will render him obedient. With ion bomb meant to chamber, I will sculpt and remade poison mind, lobotomized memory, chain link cyber genetic limbs till all that remains are those gold-rimmed eyes, a meat sack of housed organs, and a thin ghost of spinal tap. I will raid the dead, siphoning midichlorians from cadaver body. My creation will not wield a force, but he will yield a saber of Sifo-Dyas. He will wake with no god, no honor, a slave to his construction, the night slayer, the butcher of high quarry, the dreamless, and the one drum and poem.
Wow. You have written a story here. This was an adventure. Well done. I really, really enjoyed that. I felt myself being drawn into it by the vocabulary. Very, very ingenious. Your made up words are like, wow, how do you do that? But yeah, you wrote a story here from beginning to end and a complete thought, and the imagery in it was quite bizarre, really, but full and bold, and I just really liked. I wish you had done more But, yeah, this was really, really cool. Sky, I got to thank you very much for bringing this here tonight and sharing it with us. I really appreciate it. So let me get you some more comments. Hatter.
No, I'm glad you called on me. Now, I'm pretty sure she didn't make up any words of this. And
I didn't. This was fan fiction. So, yeah.
I know. So is it the actual storyline of the character?
It is the storyline. I just read the entire story arc in poetry form and then obviously in my own words and threaded it through. But it is his story arc, but it's just not presented in any way. Obviously, cause it's done through comic and through Star Wars fandom. You don't see his character background in the movies because you just see him as the machine that he was. But his story in a comic has such a wonderful and in-depth background and a sad one. And I think when people see him in the Star Wars movies, they're just like, oh, this guy, lots of arms, lots of blades. They don't understand the depth of the character, really. And that's why I did a character background on him.
And he's a good guy?
Right on.
No, he's a bad guy. But
he's
this is his life story. So this is like how he went through all these things to become who he was and why he became who he was. So it's really how you look at, is he a bad guy? Was he a good person who went through a lot of bad plights and turned to the dark side? Or was he just bad altogether? You know, is evil learned or is it born? You know, there are all those things. Not learned, is evil made, created, rather than being born, you know?
Yeah, he did well. I'm not familiar with the character, but I as you went through, I knew you weren't making any of the words up. You knew every word.
Thanks.
It was so good. The Huck Wars. Very
Thanks,
good.
Hatter.
You're welcome.
That makes it even cooler. Awesome. Lady A, what did you think?
Well, I've never watched Star Wars in my life, but I know that Sky is an aficionado on Star Wars, and just your written stories, they're always enticing and interesting, and this was more of the good stuff from you, too. So it was great. Well read and well written.
Thank you.
And Deb, what did you think?
She had to go.
Oh, Deb left? Okay.
Yeah.
Cross that off. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you. And we have some SoundClouds. We have one here from Frank. I guess we'll do next. Everybody else is finished. Yes. So here's a SoundCloud from Frank.
Are you going to post it?
Yep. Oh.
Upon this Victorian mansion.
Let me start this over. Okay.
I got it.
Let's see. You got it? Okay.
Yep. Be right there. There we go.
Okay. And press and play.
Upon this Victorian mansion is a soul who haunts the hoary corridors of fear, and a giggling sound murmurs at once behind the dreary wooden doors near. Howling echoes, dripping blood scene, pouring abundantly from within the walls, where a wrinkling hand of death appears, and a disfigured body afterwards crawls. A flickering light of a wax candle burns by the window sill throughout the night, as the chandelier sway back and forth with the old glow of the shimmering light. A very eerie silence begins to engulf the hoary darkness of the lawn gallery, with footsteps walking down the stairs, and the wails are heard by the balcony. And the children sing her infamous name in the creepy words of a nursery lullaby, Bloody Mary. Do not look into the mirror, for you might just see
very well done.
In the boom.
Very cool, Frank. I don't know, you get better and better each time I hear you. The scariness is just unabounding. It can't be equaled. The fear is like intense, but I love your characters. Your reading of your poetry is so lovely. It's scary, but you do it in such a lovely way with love in your heart, and you bring these pieces alive, and that shows in your work. This had the most frightening imagery to it, and yeah, it's an old story that we all know about looking in the mirror and saying Bloody Mary three times. You can't do it because the fright will kill you, but if you do, she'll come out and terrorize you. But your story here depicts that very well. And I'm very thankful that you decided to share this with us on my show tonight. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate your always contributing to my show. So let's get you some more comments. I'm Sky.
Yes, and just so you know, that is going to have to be my last one. Not the time, but I thought this was an excellent piece. I'm glad I stuck around for it. I don't mess around with this. I have to be honest with you. Handman, Bloody Mary. I don't mess around.
Yeah.
I don't care how old
right.
I am. My godchildren come over and they're like, Auntie, you're being ridiculous. I said, listen, not in my house.
Right.
How does that tale go? Bloody Mary curse or whatever.
Well,
how does that go?
The thing is too is that this story, from what I know, in You know, I haven't done a whole lot of background research, but from what I think I know is that it's actually from, like, Mary, a queen of England, maybe, or another country, and who used
queen
to bathe in the blood of maidens, you know, because she thought it would keep her. Oh, the Queen of Scots. Oh, okay, so Lady A knows it. Okay, yes. So the Queen of Scots, yeah, and she would bathe in the blood of maidens to keep her youth. So, yeah, okay, so maybe I did get it right. Lady A's got my back there. So when you look at these stories and you look at the roots, where they come from, I mean, it's dark in and of itself. I mean, so many things have such darker roots than this. But this, what do they call those urban legends, you know? They've turned into this story from history, and then they go through the present, and then they turn into urban legends.
What do they do?
If you look at
They say her name three times looking in the mirror? Is that how ritual?
Yeah.
Look in the mirror three times, okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, and then you die. I don't mess with that.
She appears
kind of five in my universe. But I thought this was cool, and it is something that I mean, maybe it's just me, but I don't care how old I am or how rational I am. I'm pretty rational, a rational person. I still don't mess with it. And so it's just kind of chilling.
But it's scary.
Definitely. Yeah, it's chilling. It's scary. It is. and do I truly believe in my core that if I say it three times, something's going to come out and murder me? No. I don't think I really do believe that, but I still won't do it. There's still something.
Why push the envelope?
You don't, yeah.
Pandora's box. Don't open the box.
But, you know, does such a great job telling stories, especially his dark ones.
Yep.
His epic storytelling I also really enjoy. You know, he brings in that wonderful, rich, dark macabre, the howling echoes, dripping blood scenes. He's always got his language is always on point, and his details are always on point. And she kind of pulls you in, and by the end of it, you're kind of transported into this other realm of darkness. And then you pop back out again, and you're like, oh, the light's on. So that's a wonderful feeling. excellently done.
Right.
Yeah, I gotta draw a face to his voice. If you try to picture who's saying it, you know, the voice he uses, he mentioned that he'd like to draw a picture of his the character.
Yeah.
Because I asked the question, when he does his voice, who do you see? Who do you see when he reads his voice? His voice.
Right.
So I wanted to establish what it possibly looked like. I've been trying to do that right now.
What is his motivation?
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, he's a big Poe fan.
Yep.
And you can definitely see that in his laughter at the end, you know. He's got that Vincent Price, you know, Vincent Price often did with a lover of Poe. And Vincent Price had a wonderful laugh. And he's a big Vincent Price fan, too. So I think some of his inspiration in reading these, and he does theater. He does theater for voice theater like this. And I definitely think he kind of had that. I'm gonna be like someone I really appreciate, which is Vincent Price, with that laugh at the end. But it doesn't sound like Vincent Price. He makes it his own.
That's what I got too. The Pit and the Pendulum, the Vincent Price Pit and the Pendulum.
Yeah, well, if you listen to all of Vincent Price when he's done telling a scary story, he does that laugh. He's just like, you know, that's his signature laugh.
Yeah. Right on.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
We
I am going to head out.
Okay.
This is all right,
darling.
Thank you so much. Wonderful show.
Hey.
Marius.
Thank you for coming. I'm so happy you came.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
It's the start.
Bye.
All right, good night.
Bye, Sky. Lovely person. I'm glad she made it. Lady A, did you want to comment on Frank's?
Yes, I sat here with my eyes wide open the whole poem, and I have to agree with Sky. I feel the same as he does with regard to enticing any spirits to come in and throttle me. And he makes it very frightening, and yes, he does sound like Vincent Price. I remember when I was younger, my mother watched all kinds of Vincent Price movies with Peter Lorre, and we watched them too, and he was a very scary person and a terrific actor, that's for sure. And I think he's often being channeled through Frank, and Frank did a terrific job on this. Like, I was spellbound, and I won't be looking and channeling any spirits to come in through my mirror, that's for sure.
Hey, Linda, check the studio.
Yeah.
Check the studio.
Oh. Let me see. 917, who's calling?
Francine. I've been hanging here for
Francine.
15 minutes already. Hi.
I'm sorry, sweetheart. I was in the other room.
Oh, okay.
Did you get to hear Frank's piece?
I wrote on here. Yes, I did. It was phenomenal. You know who else I was
right
thinking
on.
That he sounded like? Boris Karloff. Do you remember Boris Karloff? He was a real old-timer.
Yeah, the voice of the Grinch.
He reminded me of that.
Bela Lugosi and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was thinking he would have been really great on a radio show. You know, when they didn't have TV and they used to do just radio shows. I could just picture him, you know, doing that whole act. Because he makes it so realistic and so scary, but it's phenomenal. The poem itself and then the way he reads it, it's just unbelievable. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Cool. So did you bring a piece?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I did. Yeah, a small one. Little one. You want me to put it up? All right.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and put it up?
Okay. I wrote it this week. Okay, it's called Snowscape Scene.
Okay,
there it
get
is.
Back to...
Do you have it?
Yeah, we got it.
Okay. I'll read it. Snowscape Scene.
Wait a second, let me get over there.
Okay, and the picture is the prompt, so it's supposed to be written to the picture. Or about, you know, what the picture inspired or she actually wanted about the picture. So,
okay.
Here we go. Let me know when you're ready.
I can't find the...
You want me to put it up again?
I can't find my board. Yeah. The team of voices.
Oh, your board.
Okay.
Wait.
Oh, I see. It's... Oh, come on. Snowscape Scene by Francine. There we go.
Yes, it's the one.
Okay,
I thought it. Snowscape Scene. The freshly fallen snow makes everything pure white. It's so clean and pristine, almost sacred in sight. The house is painted with snow. No chips or fragments there. The tree branches are frosted instead of being gray and bare. Bushes plump and green now are full with white in between. The ground's carpet fresh to shine, snow glows in the night. Christmas tree covered with colored lights reflecting color on the snow, a rainbow on white. A snowman there to complete the scene, to see a snow picture so perfect, wonder if it's a dream. End poem.
Very pretty. I like that.
Thank you. It's just a short little thing prompt. That I did.
Yeah, but you did the picture prompt honor. Very, very, the imagery was quite nice. I liked it because, well, I live in Alaska. We know the snow. It's
right.
Snowed about all day long today, and the snow was falling sideways. And that's when it sticks in between the branches of the trees and the and the bushes. And so it went from green this morning to snow-covered this afternoon. And I can see that in your poem. It's very realistic and true. So I want to thank you, Francine, for I'm sorry that you were out there so long.
I was out there long. I wanted to say, Linda,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's okay. I know that you were looking for people to comment, and I said, I'm here.
Right.
Oh, well,
yeah, we've had a good show tonight.
I couldn't
get
on early.
Right.
I said, let me get on before she ends.
You made it, and that's what's important.
Yeah.
So, let's see, Hatter?
Yes.
You want to comment for Francine?
Yeah, I think that looks like a Kincaid, that picture.
It is. She said it was a Thomas Kincaid. I love his pictures. I think they're so pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, this
and
is
I
the
think it has like a stamp on it that I think has his name in it or something so that you don't steal it or whatever. I see a stamp.
Yeah.
Kind of light. It's on the right side. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like
his
pictures. They're really pretty.
He's a modern day
master.
Master
of light.
Yeah. Light. Yeah. But the poem itself, that's just another hallmark. I mean, it's a warm fuzzy. And it made me think of before TV, before the radio, people that had never seen the snow, the first time that they saw a whiteout or a pristine landscape must have been overwhelming.
I can tell you people that did that happen to presently, like really of late. When I was teaching, I had a lot of students from the Caribbean. So their first time in the United States when it snowed, it was like a big occasion for them. You know, I couldn't wait to run outside and see what it was. It was like the whole school stopped, you know. It was unbelievable. It was like, oh, it's snowing, you know. It was amazing to see their faces and everything because it was the first time that they ever saw snow and felt it. And it amazes me. It was great. Yeah, so definitely. There are still people that don't know what snow is like. Imagine.
Well, yeah,
amazing.
But at least they have TV and the internet usually.
Well, true,
I mean, I'm sure
true.
There's a lot of people
they
that
see
don't.
It. Yeah.
But,
you're right.
But, first time to experience it, you know.
Right.
Absolutely beautiful.
That's true. Before TV and the internet and stuff, they wouldn't have had a clue what it looked like. They couldn't imagine everything white like that. And I love those pictures. Any kind of picture like that, I love. Winter scenes like that with the snow and everything. I think they're so precious. Everything looks so beautiful.
Right.
Until it gets dirty and mush up, you know, mushy. But when it first falls, oh, it's so beautiful. That's why I don't think I could live in the South.
Right.
Hmm?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you were saying. I interrupted you.
Oh, I was just saying he's a master of shadows and light.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, it's just absolutely beautiful how he does it.
Yes,
I like
the
ones that are
picture.
In the rain.
Yeah.
He does the one in the rain. It's just remarkable how he does that.
I don't know if I've seen that one. The one in
the
rain. Most of the ones I've seen,
like
the snow or...
Yeah, it's like a village or something, and it's raining.
Oh, I have to
see
that one.
You just want to see it, yeah.
Yeah, his art is really all over the place. It's beautiful. Go ahead. I'm ready. You have another one, Linda?
unmuted. Did we lose her? Let me check.
What happened?
I'll find out here in a second.
Hatter, am I off?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I lost the studio. Let me go get it. Yeah, she must have dropped. Let me get to the studio. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello? Sorry, I got disconnected for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't know why that does that, but it's been like every show for a couple of months now. It's really starting to but now that I have the host call in, it usually when I'm just in the studio, it blocks me out. I can't even call back, so I got lucky.
Right?
So anyway, moving on, I wanted to get Marius's piece in here.
Yes.
And I think I put it on the board already. Can you guys see it on the board?
Let me refresh. I don't see it.
Oh, God. Oh, I didn't press send yet.
Oh, we have a stupid cap
block. There we go.
There it is.
Piece.
Yeah, it's there.
Okay. Let me get back. Marius. Everybody ready?
Yeah.
I learned to love sunset more than sunrise, and the long nights more than days. In each sunset I can see your shining eyes. Each night we walk together in our love's eternal ways. We whisper to each other magic words. Barefoot we dance on autumn's sage leaves, to the angel's song in minor chords. Happy covered in these delicate, simple weaves. Under the stars, we kiss as we were young again. And through the gardens we smell all the roses. We breath the fresh perfume of summer's rain. A million pleasant memories, fragrant poses. I learned to love sunset more than sunrise. I would give my life to keep this dream alive. To rest forever in your loving, soft, brown gaze.
Beautiful poem, Marius, and I'm afraid that we're out of time, so I want to thank everybody real quickly, AP, Dab Lady, A, Sky Hatter, Sweet Pea, Francine, Heavenly Angels, We Didn't Do Souls, Gerald, The Marksman, Frank, Phil, Marius, and Kay. Thank you all for being a part of my show. If you didn't get read tonight, we'll find a spot later on to read your poetry. I thank you all. It's a great honor to have you share with me on my night. Really great having you. So
you did it. You got it all in. You got it all in time. Good job.
And I didn't trip over my tongue once. Okay, everybody. Thanks, Hatter, for helping out. Thanks, Francine.
Sure. Bye, Lady A.
Okay.